This is People Every Day. Coming up...
And the actor goes to... Chadwick Boseman, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Breaking down the biggest behind-the-scenes moments from the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Plus, actress Thandiwe Newton reintroduces herself on the cover of Vogue. And SAG and Oscar-nominated star Leslie Odom Jr. on his booming career and becoming a dad again.
We are so joyful.
It's April 5th. Well, hello there. Welcome back to People Every Day, hosted by moi, Janine Rubenstein. It is Monday following a pretty eventful weekend, I'd have to say. I hope all who celebrate enjoyed their Easter and Resurrection Sunday. And I know last night was a bit of a treat for everyone, whether you love good sports, congrats to the Stanford women's basketball team for their NCAA tournament win, or for those who love good music, okay? Because the versus battle between Earth, Wind & Fire and the Isley Brothers, hosted by Steve Harvey, was worth the watch. If for nothing else than to hear my mother-in-law sing in falsetto for about 2 hours straight. But the weekend brought just a lot of news and some sad news as well. It was reported that iconic rapper DMX suffered a drug overdose and heart attack, and he is currently on life support. I am a huge hip-hop fan and grew up listening to that unmistakable gravelly voice on hits like the Rough Riders anthem. And his music in the late 90s and early 2000s really encapsulated the grit and energy of his and so many others' experiences. So he's been through so much in his life, and my heart goes out to his family right now as they just come together to be by his side. And one other big thing that happened this weekend, the Screen Actors Guild Awards were last night. And later in the show, you'll hear from buzzed about nominee and new dad, Leslie Odom Jr., star of One Night in Miami. I got to interview him alongside People, the TV show's Jeremy Parsons, my co-host for the SAG Awards pre-show last night. And we had so much fun that Jeremy is actually here right now with me to talk through top stories and what all went down at SAGs. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Janine. We had such a good time. I was watching back last night, and it just like brought back how much we laughed. Like the most ridiculous things ever. Anyway, it was a good time, and the show is incredible.
It was so much fun, right? Okay, so we're going to get into all of that. But before we jump into the awards, have you seen the new cover of Vogue for their May issue?
I saw it, and I know that you were going to talk about it, so I took a quick look. Yeah, it's getting tons of traction right away, which is exactly, obviously, the intent, but the story is incredible.
Yeah, Thandiwe Newton, you probably know her as Thandi Newton, just basically says that her name was misspelled years ago, and now she is reclaiming that. She is saying that my name is Thandiwe, Thandiwe, and she is re-owning who she is, right?
Yeah, she is. And you know, it's one of those things where you kind of hear this a lot in Hollywood, whether it's as innocuous as someone just like coming up with a stage name just so they have a different stage name, or maybe they feel like they won't get as many jobs if their name sounds a certain way. Maybe that, you know, some other reason. But I think this is kind of like the tip of the iceberg, and you'll probably be hearing a lot more actors and performers and front-facing people who maybe come out and say like, yeah, you know what, here's who I really am too. And for whatever the reason back in the day, I didn't think I could get roles, or maybe, you know, whatever reason, I changed it, but now I'm going to redefine and come out with who I am. So I think it's a good thing. And I think it's surprising to a lot of people. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like,
yeah,
a person becomes known as something. I think of like Jonah Hill. I remember when I first learned that Jonah Hill's last name was actually Feldstein, and his sister Beanie has gotten a lot of renown as she's become a more well-known actress. And just things like that, it's sort of like it makes you scratch your head, and then it opens up interesting stories about what they went through as an artist and what led them to that decision.
Yeah, Kirk Douglas as well. That reminded me of another famous one. Like, he was Danielovich, and he said it was too Jewish. He was told that, and he wishes he had kept his real name throughout his career. But yeah, and Thandi's Thandiwe's experience, it wasn't that she says that she tried to do this for any reason. They did it. Her name was changed on the very first film that she ever did, and she just didn't feel powerful enough to go back and correct anyone, that it would hurt her career. And she carried a lot of weight. The article goes even deeper into a lot of the stuff that came out when she was very early on in her career regarding the Me Too movement, before there was a Me Too movement. She was taken advantage of by a director, and she just talks through how big of a struggle that was, how she had to fire, you know, representatives who didn't want her to speak about this because it would hurt her image just to own what had happened to her on set.
I think that that's an interesting thing you mentioned, because at face value, I don't think you connect change your name with anything related to having had some sort of inappropriate or sexual abuse or something like that. But really, the core of all of it is an issue of power and people feeling powerless in a situation. And so for her to be able to have a moment where she does have power and she does have a platform to kind of claim that is really inspiring. And again, I think it's all kind of tied together with the sense of having a voice in a certain kind of arena.
It really is. So just so excited for that. And she looks beautiful on the cover. But let's talk about some other actors, a lot of other actors. Let's get into the SAGs from last night.
Which was, and right out of the gate as well, totally weird year, because it's just another award show that's being done virtually and Zoom and all that.
Break that down for everyone. What was the setup for last night?
People always, it's every year I do it, there's people that ask me, what is the SAG Awards? What's SAG mean? Mm-hmm, Screen Actors Guild, it's the Actors Union. And for the people that are nominated, every year as you go through award season, you know, you've got the Golden Globes, you've got the Oscars and other shows. Actors love this one because they are sort of being acknowledged and honored by their peers more directly than perhaps the other shows. And so then last night, the way it worked, this was the first award show that I think for the whole season that they've just said, like, out of the gate, hey, we're pre-recording the whole thing. None of it's going to be live. We're not acting like it is. We're not pretending,
whatever. We're not trying anything.
And I actually think the show played out really well. It was really well produced. It was heavily produced. You had a lot of stars. They integrated some really fun.
And they did it for good reason, too. I love that they said, like, look, we have stars that have had to go into bubbles to keep, you know, working and to go on to these sets, and they can't step out and go to these nights and stuff like that, because then they'd have to quarantine and not be able to work the next week. So we're, as a union, they were thinking about their members.
Well, yeah. Like some of the casts that we talked to, like the cast of Ted Lasso and all that, they were in their bubble in the UK shooting season 2, and we got to just kind of bounce into their world there.
They're
all in their trailers and stuff. It was really cool.
It was really, really cool. So yeah, let's get into a little bit of that. You kicked off with Ted Lasso. Of course, Jason Sudeikis won last night for his role, his lead role in that show. And we got to catch up with him, right? And I loved when you asked him, you called him wholesome, didn't you?
Yeah, well, okay. And watching back, I was like, maybe that's the wrong word. But the thing that stuck out to me about that show that everyone connected to was, it's hilarious, but it's got such a feel-good quality about it that you can watch it and it just makes you smile. And there's a wholesome aspect, even though, as Jason said, he was like, weird that you'd say wholesome, because we drop a lot of F-bombs. There's a lot of, he spelled out S-E-X.
You know, we've got our fair amount of, you know, jokes about D's and B's and like I said, F's, and this is the way my son speaks, and S, we say the S word, you know, and people have, you know, S-E-X implied. We haven't shown anything as of yet.
I love him. Like, if you guys are able to see, he's kicked off the whole interview by doing like a little, like, what was it? Not the robot, the snake.
No, it's like the snake, like, with his arms, like one
the
arm
snake
to the other.
With his arm. He was just in the zone.
He was in the zone, and it was like day and night compared to his whole energy from the Golden Globes.
Yes.
Right? When he was in the hoodie, which I know we talked about that. So I don't know if you're playing that clip or not, but that became the talking
We should.
Thing.
We totally should. Okay, because he talked about the hoodie. Okay, let's play it. You guys listen to what he had to say about the hoodie moment.
I mean, I 100% knew that was going to be a whole to-do. That's me. I'm a rabble rouser.
I like it. I'm just picturing him.
It's hoodie chic, man. It's hoodie chic.
I'm picturing him with the stylist saying, like, no, none of that. The hoodie.
The hoodie is it.
Hoodie.
And the hoodie came back in the beginning of the SAGs, too. Did you see the intro? The whole
Yeah.
They made fun of it. He was like, "Who wears that to an award show?"
Yeah.
And
he was
going through some things.
It felt that way, but it was nice to see him in good spirits. And you know, obviously, he's like the kind of guy that'll roll with that. He doesn't care. You know, he's just got that sense of humor. He'll just like kind of go with it. So I love talking to them. It truly was one of my favorite, and I know one of your favorite shows of the year too.
It was so good. And just since we're on style, we're gonna get into some of the other awards soon, but Leslie Odom Jr. in Berluti. I found out what that suit was. You guys go Google Leslie Odom Jr.'s suit, okay? It's amazing. Oh, and then I also need to shout out Daniel Kaluuya, who won, of course, his Louis Vuitton pajamas. Yes, he was in Louis Vuitton pajamas. Like, just look, the guys were killing it.
I love that about it. And one of the great things about the whole, like, Zoom award show, it's like, casual, but still chic.
Okay, so give me some of your top moments, be it a win or one of the speeches or montages or whatever.
I loved when they have a unique opportunity to kind of like break down the resume of the actors. I loved when they broke down their special skills.
All sports, curling, yeah, yeah. Javelin, I said all sports.
I would always list juggling as a thing. And everyone,
you know, Jimmy Fallon included like an accordion or something, or like a harmonica. He's like, I don't know so much. And just everyone had just these random things listed that their agent at some point had put there. Maybe they played basketball once. Like, I think Dan Levy had a really funny one. I can't remember exactly which one. I think it was a sport. And he was just like, maybe I played that once. And then I was actually, you know, came on set and they were like, well, can you actually do this? And he's like, maybe not. Maybe it was like horseback riding or something. I don't know. But that, I just thought that was funny because it became a very practical, very personal look at sort of the absurdity of, you know, trying to get a job as an actor. And here are these huge stars that are like on the other side of that now, having made it. And just like all the random stuff that comes along with it that a lot of people can relate to.
I love that. Yeah, they really dug into that I'm an actor and like what that whole world is like. Not just the celebrity of it, like the grunt work of being an actor, what that experience is. And then my other thing was guilty pleasures. I loved when they were going around saying like, what they watch, like David Diggs is into Love Island. What? Yeah,
like, that's right.
He was like Hamilton.
He was almost embarrassed to say it, but he's like, "That's who I am. That's fine."
It's so nice. And then my guilty, since we're just outing everything, is Married at First Sight. Oh my God, it'll blow your mind if you watch this show.
My wife's into that and has gotten so into it. Like, there are times I'll come upstairs, she's watching it, and I'm like, this again. She's like, shh, you have no idea.
So we all have the guilty pleasures. But I wanna delve into Chadwick Boseman a little bit. Yet again awarded. He won for outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and his widow, Taylor, accepted his award. I think this is the fourth time now.
If you see the world unbalanced, be a crusader that pushes heavily on the seesaw of the mind. That's a quote by Chadwick Boseman.
She's so graceful with how she does it. And, you know, it's just you, as I watch her, I'm like, she obviously wants to honor him, but how simultaneously heart-wrenching, but also perhaps maybe it's therapeutic and helping. I don't know, but maybe it helps to cope more to see him honored in such a way and beloved by so many people. And you feel her heart as she talks.
For sure. And this is just, of course, in the run up to the Oscars. So we shall see. But he has been posthumously sweeping, you know, these categories. So we will see what's to come. And then there are some other really fun just awards we should mention before we get out of here. Ye Jung Yoon won for Minari and for a female actor in a supporting role, and just gave just such a sweet, like, wholesome speech. One of those good SAG Award speeches that you hope for. Trial of the Chicago 7 won for Best Cast. And you got to catch up with Schitt's Creek folks, right?
Ooh, right after the win, yeah. And I was talking to Catherine O'Hara, because in her acceptance speech early in the night, she had said that, you know, she gave big shout outs and so much props to like her wig team, her costuming team, because they really helped make the character. And I asked her after the win, like, you know, what other than that, what will you hold on to? And she said she wants to hold on to and implement Moira's, I think she said, womanly, her ladylike wiles, her womanly wiles. She knows how to implement them in ways that she doesn't know how to. And she said, and she wants to really like grab her vocabulary and somehow work it in, which is just great. Her wiles.
Oh, I love it. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining me on the show and just going back through all of this. I could talk to you forever.
Thank you. And thank you for enjoying just a little bit of Tate and Jay champagne with me in our pre-show shenanigans.
Next up, Jeremy and I catch up with One Night in Miami star Leslie Odom Jr. as he marches towards the Oscars. Stay tuned.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, guys, if you have not seen One Night in Miami yet, get it together. It is actress Regina King's directorial debut, and the film, which is streaming on Amazon Prime Video, is a fictional account of a meetup between history makers Muhammad Ali, who was then Cassius Clay, Malcolm X, NFL star Jim Brown, and musician Sam Cooke. The latter is portrayed by Leslie Odom Jr., and it is a stunning performance. As Jeremy and I mentioned earlier, we got to chat with Leslie ahead of the SAG Awards, and he was in his backyard and just bursting with excitement, not only due to all of his nominations, but he and wife Nicolette, who, by the way, plays his wife in the movie, just welcomed a baby boy about a week ago. So to continue our SAG Award coverage, which is presented by Macy's, here's our interview with the very busy, very happy star.
Leslie Odom Jr., looking good. Love the suit.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. You got the glow of a new dad. Now, I know you're dad for the second time, but congratulations. Baby Abe,
yes,
I believe
congrats.
I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, we are so joyful. Look, award season is wonderful. Really, it's so nice to have your name included on lists like these. But there's nothing like the joy and the renewed energy and all the wonderful things that happen with a new baby. It's just great.
But again, yes, congratulations. Your wife as well, who is nominated for a SAG Award. She played your wife in the film. I want to know what that was like in terms of casting. Like, did you come home for dinner and just say like, hey, guess what? I got this new Regina King flick. And she's like, wait, so did I. Like, how did it work? How did this work?
Miami? What?
We were in a, and Nicolette really saved the movie from, you know, we were in a bind. An actress was cast pre-COVID, you know, and we were supposed to shoot these scenes between Sam and Barbara in LA after we wrapped in Louisiana, the beginning of March last year. And you guys know everything shut down. And so the film, we didn't get these scenes until June. And we were still not out of the woods with COVID yet. So anyway, they were looking for a fabulous actress. I told Regina King, well, you know, I just happen to live with one of the greatest actresses you will find. So it worked out.
Good husband.
We've got the chemistry down. We're good to go. We don't need a chemistry test. Her schedule's open.
Yes. We've been quarantining together. Like, if you want to throw in a kiss, we good.
That's so great. Hey, look, I'm just thinking about talking to you before recently for an Oscar nomination. You have dominated the stage. You've got Tony, Grammy. I mean, all this stuff going for you. What's next to conquer in your world, if you had to kind of look ahead?
You know, so much of the best things in my life have been creatively and in my profession have been really when I was invited to be a part of a championship team, when I was a part of, you know, a winning ensemble. Hamilton, One Night in Miami is no different. So eventually I'd like to be a part of putting those teams together instead of waiting for wonderful phone calls like that, you know, being in charge of sort of gathering the troops and putting the team together myself.
Love
cool,
that.
Cool. And then I have to ask about jumping into Sam Cooke, becoming Sam Cooke. What did it take for you to get that
ethos. I look at the soliloquies and the monologues. They were so deep and emotional. And then when you sang A Change Is Gonna Come at the end of that movie. I cried. It just brought it all together. So what did it take for you to go there?
You know, it's fourth thing. Brilliant script from Kemp Powers. Writing is king. It is just, I used to think, you know, talking to actors, I really used to think that you could act your way, you know, into something interesting, that you could just be fabulous enough on your own and make something watchable. You can't. I mean, somebody has to give you the material to fly, you know, to challenge you and also make you simpler because the material is so good. So Kemp did that. I had amazing scene partners. You couldn't ask for a better sparring partner than Kingsley Benadire as Malcolm X. I'll tell you that much. I had a brilliant director in Regina King, who's an actress herself. Just support and resources. You know, I had all the Sam's music. I had a great dialect coach. It was a winning team, you know, and I know how to play my position. You know, I know how to listen and how to play my position when you have that much support.
That was Leslie Odom Jr. For more on him and our coverage of the Screen Actors Guild Awards presented by Macy's, head over to people.com. Now, my dear friends, it is time for a little something to make you smile. More people are lining up to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and naturally, just the thought of a needle in the arm makes a lot of folks squirm, or squeal, as in the case of one superstar singer. Over the weekend, Mariah Carey hit her famous high note while getting the big poke. Just listen. She posted her experience on Instagram with the caption, "Vaccine side effect, G6, hinting at her impressive vocal range. Way to go, Mimi, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.